Well, there are many reasons today for me to be in a very good mood. Very good mood. And then there's one reason why maybe I should not be in such a great mood. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on this afternoon. But Overdrive
maybe,
is off
that
the
one little that one little thing. And we got to continue to tease it all day long. It's possibly, I think I've been doing this like for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite thing ever in all of television and all of radio. And it's only about 12 seconds, but we're going to get into it later. Anyway, we got to get into what happened at the beginning of the day, what put you in a good mood. And that is a 77. And
wow.
I'm not joking, 1 inch from a hole in one on number seven,
yep.
At Coppenwood. It was a highlight reel shot from Hazy B with your new name is Me and Tux, but your boy Tucky was there and he was loving it.
Yeah.
And TJ
was in there, yep.
Dude. I'll tell you what, that's quite a setup you got there. You got a butter course, got great guys to play with, and you guys, it's like, if you could do like a small little movie on like private golf club foursome guys, you guys nailed it to a T. You get on the first tee, you look at each other and point at each other. You're like, 20s, 50s, 20s for birdies, 20s, you in. And everyone's like, yep, yep, yep. And then you get to the fairway, and the whole day it's just like, you guys know every single spot and roll on that golf course. You're like, remember that one yesterday? I made that 2 on that par 4, and you were like, yeah, see that pin on 17 yesterday? That was a joke. was private golf course. It was just perfect. You guys are dialed in. You love it. You love the camaraderie. It was a lot of fun. You got it made in the shade at that place, man.
Well, it was great to have you out, buddy. It was awesome. I was worried, Noodles, this morning because I got the text around 7:15. How's the weather looking out your neighborhood? And
yeah.
I was concerned, just like you were, because it was overcast and there was a bit of a drizzle the first few holes. But we managed to grind it out. I was more concerned and legitimately concerned when I pulled in. It was going to say 90-degree rule, cart path only. And I'm like, I don't know how to break the news if that's the case. But it was not. You played very well. You had yourself quite the morning as well. And it was awesome to get you out. The boys were excited. Everyone was jacked up, Noodles. We just missed you out there as a caddy. That's what we need
fine.
Next time.
I'd like to come out, but I feel like I'd be putting a wedge in between you and your best friend now. Like, that's the thing. I'm concerned that, like, you and Tux are so close that
that's
it's
his new
it's
name,
like,
Me and Tux.
Yeah, Me and Tux were doing this. Me and Tux were doing that. Like, Tuxie and stuff. Like, is there – it's not even their own language, but it's just like a look now. Like, hey, you know,
and I
know
exactly I've joked about
talking about.
I have joked about friend stealing, which is basically what's gone on. But I could literally honestly say that you and Tux are better friends than me and Tux are right now.
Well,
you play with the guy 3 times a week and your buddies.
You play golf together. You know, we've got the ability to play during the week, which is rare, where it's a great luxury that we. Believe me, appreciate and try to take advantage of as much as we possibly can. And you know him as well as I. You know him better than I do. You've known him 30 years. You know, but he loves to play, loves to get out there, have a good time. TJ's the same way. Our boy Finky, we're thinking of him. He hasn't been out for a while. Johnny, Solly, there's a bunch of guys there. And you just catch a crew, you go out and play, you put something on the line. And I shot 77 today. I'm down to a single digit. I'm
officially impressive.
A single digit, which for me is very important stuff. Very important stuff.
That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, I played well today. And that's 2 times in a row with you, buddy. I was an 80 at Western with you a couple weeks ago with a double on 18.
Yeah.
And then 77 today. That's you witnessing all that, too. No funny business. Yeah. No mullies. No
fluffing.
And
I'll tell you
nothing.
What. Not to pump your tires. Like, 77 is not exactly something to write home about. For you, it is. But what you've done. I'm serious. What you've done. Is cleaned up the nonsense. Like, there's no chunkity chunk from 60 yards or sculling it across. Like, you're cleaned up the nonsense. You might have a 3-putt or don't get up and down here and there, but that's the extent of your damage, which is rule number one to lower your scores, because the stupid nonsense, it's just adding shots you'll never ever get
right.
back.
And believe me, it's still there. Like it's,
and
it's there,
I don't
and it'll be
use
there the
this
next time I play.
Lightly, I will say something I never thought I would say. You're kind of sneaky long now off the tee.
Really?
Like there was a couple times where I hit mine pretty good, and my golf ball is not like super long, but I can hit my tee ball goes 300
yards.
You
can crush a ball, yes.
That's right. And you a couple times I was like, wow, that's right there.
I was there with you. I saw
know.
It too.
And trust me, I saw it that you saw. Like, I saw you seeing it. And
yes,
you were like,
I was familiar.
The chest comes out, and you're like,
feeling pretty yeah. good
love
about
it.
Himself.
Oh, he loves it. If he's in a couple of club lengths, he loves it. He's fired up. But I'm happy to see it, buddy. Well, love Coppenwood. Love the boys out
shout
there.
Out.
He's had himself
shout
a day because I was a little bit concerned about your attitude last night. 9:30 p.m.
Oh,
when
doodles.
When I'll paint a picture for you. You got the Jays on one
getting
tube,
smoked,
and yeah, Robbie Ray, the tight pants weren't rolling last night. Rough night. It is what it is. Yeah, and they make a game of it too.
They did like, in the ninth. They
made a game
resilient.
Of it. So
yep,
resilient and probably should have, you know, clawed back in just based on the bases loaded, all of that type of stuff. But and then at halftime, I'm looking and it's Detroit 17, Green Bay 14, and Green Bay doesn't look that good. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is not going well here.
No,
like
it was. Listen, they came back, they won, and they covered, and that's
right.
ultimately what matters.
Right.
And I appreciate the Packers for pulling that off. Aaron Rodgers, he's a confident guy. He deserves to be. This is a big picture conversation when you're talking about Rodgers. He's got multiple MVPs, a Super Bowl. He's going to the Hall of Fame. His number is going to be retired. He's an all-time great player.
Right.
Big picture, he should step in there with some moxie post-game, do his thing, talk it up, say, I'm back. What do you make of that? How about them apples? You know, small picture, you're like, it's the Lions. You know, the Lions
right,
are going
right.
to Lions themselves. That's what happened last night. Jared Goff was Joe Montana in the first half and Nathan Peterman in the second half. Picks, fumbles, stupid plays, Campbell.
I'll be honest. I turned that off and I'm like, there's no way that they're going to increase this spread so much where I'm me and Al's brother because I saw the back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's no way this is happening. They're going to keep this to a tight ball game and we win. The 500 game is all that matters in the whole scheme of things. And sure enough, they go, and he turns into Peterman, and it's a gong show.
He was Peterman in the second half, and their defense, like the Packers' defense, woke up as well in the second half. They were really bad in the first half, and that is concerning long term. Them going to the Niners on Sunday, the line is out. San Francisco's a 3.5-point favorite. I wouldn't be surprised if that moved up. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that was 4.5 for the Niners by kickoff because of the way that Packers' defense is looking right now. But they were resilient in the second half. Rodgers looked good. He took what the defense was giving to him. Aaron Jones went off for 4 touchdowns last night, which was just an incredible performance by him. But I had the same viewpoint. When it was 17-14 at the half, I'm like, I don't see how they're going to find a way to cover the number.
No.
Because it's such a big spread.
Right.
And the Lions are the reason you cover the number. Detroit is just perpetually awful. I'm listening to the telecast last night. They're talking up Dan Campbell, which I have nothing against Dan Campbell. If anything, I like Dan Campbell. He gives crazy quotes, and he's high energy, and he's an underdog type of guy. Go ahead. Like, I'd like to see him turn around. I got nothing against Detroit outside of the fact that the Lions are in the NFC North, but the Packers have benefited from that so greatly throughout my lifetime. It's like throw them a bone at some point. You know, I don't hate the Lions the way I hate the Bears and the Vikings because the Lions are a doormat, and they have been for so long. But the telecast is saying last night, Campbell is going to figure it out. He's going to turn it around, and he's a Bill Belichick disciple. I'm like, roll the tape. You said that about Matt Patricia 3 years ago. The exact same thing. Belichick disciple. He's in the coaching tree with Belichick. He's going to turn the culture around. They're practicing outdoors in the snow. Nothing. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Detroit cannot figure it out. And that's what happened again last night.
Dude, you can take it back to 10 years before that. Who's the guy that was on TV with the mustache that got brought in as the president? They said he was going to turn the organization.
Oh, Matt Millen did that years
ago.
Yeah, it was Matt Millen.
It's like, this guy's not doing it. And
no.
It's gone beyond, like, You know, we talk about hockey franchises that are like kind of down in the dumps and they can't get it going. Right now it's Detroit, but they were so good for so long. But the Lions are so far beyond that where it's like, it's outrageous how it can be so brutal every year. It's
going to continue. Like they're not winning more.
It's more than
games.
Personnel decisions in management. It's like a curse. It's terrible and it's god awful. I can't imagine supporting that.
No, it's very difficult to do. But if that's your town and that's your team, it's a Midwestern blue collar town. That's a football country, man. The Midwest. That's the home of football. And Detroit can just never get out of the dumps.
I don't even know a Lions. I don't know. Taddy is the only Lion. Taddy and David Alter are the only Lions fans I know.
Right. I feel like I know a couple more, but I think you're right. I mean, it's difficult to find them.
No, yet they're
a border team, and they've been around forever. They were on Thanksgiving. They started the Thanksgiving games
all the
forever.
Time.
Right. And
all
they still
the
time. Are. Yeah, it's a tradition. Them and the Cowboys. Like, they play it. 12:30 or 1 o'clock every single year on Thanksgiving. And you know the TV networks are like, can we please switch
move
this
away
out
from this.
Like, I get it. It was their game, and they kind of started the whole thing. Someone's got to convince them for the betterment of the sport. You talk about brand management. Goodell should fly to Detroit and say, I don't know what we have to do to make this work, but this can't happen anymore. Like, you have to have consecutive seasons with minimum 8 wins to play on Thanksgiving. Like, there should be some new rule. Like, the Lions being there every year is ridiculous. But it was a great second half. You're right, Noodles. My head was popping off.
Yeah, I was concerned.
Like it was about a half an hour ago, 35 minutes ago. We'll tell you about that later this afternoon. But the Jays, you know, Robbie Ray, he wasn't awful last night, but he was playing with fire throughout the night. You were waiting for him to get hit. You're waiting for him to run out of the game, and that's what happened, and that's what Tampa could do. It wasn't like Gerrit Cole the day before. You know, I don't think the script flipped where now Robbie Ray doesn't have a stranglehold on the Cy Young. I think he still does and should. It's just they couldn't generate offense until the ninth. You know, Teoscar and Gurriel were the only two with a hit. They happened to be solo shots. But it's bound to happen against Tampa. You know, you're not going to run off win after win after win. They're in it again tonight with Manoah on the mound. Tomorrow they're probably going to have a bullpen outing because Ryu's on the 10-day IL, so he's not going to pitch tomorrow. But I credit them for battling in the ninth. I credit them for putting runs on the board and having the winning or the go-ahead run on the bases into the ninth when it could have been easier to just say, not our day.
We've
been struggling at the drop in past years. That does not appear to be what this team is made of. And that is a really positive sign because it wasn't their day yesterday. It wasn't their night last night. They found a way to still kind of battle and make it a game. And everyone's complaining on this side of the border about the umpiring. And the umpiring was atrocious last night.
Yeah, like trying a couple to get tough calls, too.
Trying to get a read on the strike zone is always tough. And it was going both ways. There were times where Tampa hitters were not getting the benefit of the doubt at all either. But this is a classic example of when you're on the wrong side of it, you yell and scream, right? And when you're on the right side of it, you're like, no, it's all good. I like the human element. So this has always been my philosophy. What goes around comes around. It always evens out for the most part. Last night, it did not go in the direction of the Jays. Today, maybe it will. You know, but if you have a human being behind the plate using his eyes to track a 98-mile-an-hour fastball with some movement on it, you're going to get some discrepancies when it comes to the strike zone. And that's what happened last night. Robot umps. I think they're coming at some point. When that's going to be, I don't know.
I don't think so ever. I don't think ever.
You don't think they're ever going to have a robot ump?
Never.
It's so loud for it, though. There's so many people clamoring for it.
Really? What about the umpires union? You think that they're just going to say, okay, go ahead, robots. Like, it's just not as simple as what are they just making the robots right now that are just standing behind there? What are you talking about?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a physical robot.
It's not AI. Like, it's not a guy that's like a –
it's going to be like tennis. Yeah, that'd be hilarious, though, if it was like actually a robot behind the plate, like doing the actions and everything.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Now, I would actually support that.
I would, yeah.
That absolutely. Would be something I could support. Like, imagine some robot just takes a fastball right off the squash.
Oh, yeah.
Blows
his
up his
head falls off, and then someone tees off with a bat and rips his arm off.
But what you need is a robot and then a TV screen for a face. You could put in anybody's face there.
Here.
Like just the Al Struthers face. Just sitting there going strike, Like,
do you get suspended if you Robbie Alomar spit in the robot's face? Do you get suspended?
That's a good question.
That would be awesome.
What would be the ruling on spitting on a robot?
Yeah. Like, is it the robot offended that you spit in his face? Are the feelings hurt? Is it disgusting?
Well, isn't somebody running the robot? So then,
I don't think there's someone in a robot suit.
No, but somebody's got the controls behind in an office or something,
happening.
And they're yelling at the.
No.
Like, to me, it's. I don't know what's that show called with the Sheldon? The smart.
What the hell was that one called?
What are those guys called? Like the scientist guys.
Yeah.
I can't remember their.
Hugely popular show.
Very
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
He created a robot with his face in there, and it rolls into
I
the
love
room
that
and
idea.
Talking.
You want to add revenue? Honestly, put that up for auction, and like you'll have GoFundMe accounts. You'll have people spending a fortune to have their face behind the plate. And if it's like a FaceTime, it's not just a still shot, it's FaceTime. Imagine Al's brother just sitting there with his feet up. Strike. Ball one.
He's having
they got to get the guy with the handlebar mustache that butchered that perfect game in Detroit. What's
yes, Jim
name?
Joyce.
Jimmy Joyce. Just Jimmy Joyce smoking a cigar. Yeah, strike.
I love that idea.
Yes.
Jim Joyce. And he does interviews with Galarraga during the, in between innings.
Yeah.
Explaining to him why he butchered the biggest moment of his career and had to be a hero at first.
It would be so awesome because you're right. Like, you could have a contest of whose face goes in tonight.
That idea. I honestly think you could generate a fortune putting that up for an auction. Like, whose face do you want behind the plate?
Yeah.
And I think you'd raise a lot of
awesome.
Money.
Awesome. I'd put Leslie Nielsen's face in there from
That'd
the
be
naked
great.
Gun.
That'd be great.
It would just, like, there's so many options. But if you had, an actual robot being worked by somebody in an office, I think it would be awesome. But
I don't think that's the plan. I think we're talking tennis where it's automated. There's a strike zone. There's not physically going to be a robot. R2-D2 is not behind the plate.
It would even for optics, having it standing there. Like, it doesn't need like a chest pad or anything. It's just standing there.
And it just looks awful. Like, it's just the worst looking robot. It's got wires hanging out. Like, it's aesthetically terrible.
Like a homemade one. Wouldn't even look like a real one. That's awesome.
That would be outstanding. I would support that. I personally don't need the robotic umps. I don't want the robotic umps. I like the human element of it all. I like the fact that it can be unpredictable. And I know when your team gets burned, you hate on it. And when they don't get burned, all of a sudden everyone goes very quiet. That's generally the nature of things. But there is a loud, loud contingent in the baseball world that is, again, clamoring for robotic umps. But I don't see it happening in the near future, but I think it will happen at some point. I think it's inevitable. It's going to happen. But to your point about the umpires and the union and the contract, that clearly is something that will factor in as well.
Yeah.
I believe Jake Delhomme is going to be joining us. Longtime NFL quarterback. He took the Panthers to the Super Bowl back in the day. Making his debut on the show. Great guy to catch up with. We caught up with him a little bit earlier this afternoon. So we're going to catch up with Jake. We'll explain what happened with Jake. Might have some audio for you. We got to figure out how we're going to play this out.
I'll be controlling that element of the show.
Are you taking over this whole operation?
Oh, yeah. I told you. In 10 years of television and radio, it is my favorite soundbite that I think I've ever heard.
Okay.
There's one other one that rivals is the La Bamba beginning when he had his shoulder done. That's the only other rival for me with how funny that scenario ended up. And it was unfortunate. There was a lot of – I got to be honest, there's a lot of poise involved by the three of us.
Noodles, could you imagine – you guys both know me. 7 or 8 years ago, I would have spontaneously combusted. Like, I'd be in flames here doing the rest of the show. And we all just kept our composure. We're like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to get it back on the
rails. I would have been done. I'd honestly be like, that's enough.
Get a new host for today.
Yeah, you got to call up Patman or something.
Yeah, call in Mark Rowe, and that's it.
I'm very matured now, very professional, very zen. Very zen. I think it's the Packers win last night. It's going low today. I've been out there with buddies this morning. The O-Dog looking good, playing good. I thought I had you this morning. I was this close. I thought I was going to get you.
But is that why as soon as I was completed, you were like, what were you today?
I asked your number.
Within half of a second.
Yeah, your ball wasn't even at the bottom of the cup, and I'm like, what'd you shoot? Because I thought I was on your tail, and I was. For me, I was anyway. But he got me. I'll get you one of these days, I'm telling you. It's going to happen.
Well, if you give it points, what did you shoot today?
I shot 75 today. That's why I don't gamble with guys like Hayes, because I would have had to give him 9 shots and I would have got rinsed, so it's not worth my time.
Yeah, I would have got you bad today.
Yeah, which is just not fair. It's like 70. Well, some guy shoots 77 and clips you for 200. No way. you guys are about all the same.
They were giving me strokes, so I hurt them this morning. They went through some pain because I played as well as I can possibly play.
How many blows do they give you?
Tux was giving me 5, and TJ was giving me 4.
Oh, so Tux is a 4 handicap.
He's a 5. I was a 10. I'm down now. I'm a single now because of the number I put in the score.
Well, the 3 of you, you must lick your chops when some guy stands on the tee and says, I'm a 0, because it's just shots and you just crush the guy.
That's the truth, man. A scratch giving up that
many
strokes.
That's why I don't even think about it. I'm like, I would have lost 350 easily, which I don't care about, but I'm not doing it.
No, it changes.
I'm not gifting this TJ who I just met and say, here, you're nice meeting you. Here's 150. Like, that's stupid to me.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot win unless you shoot 67, which I'm not on that with that wind and that golf course. I'm not doing it, so I'm not donating for fun.
Right. No, there's nothing wrong with that. You go do your thing. Like, and you
right.
were off and running. You played really well this morning. Everyone had a good time, and that's all that matters.
That's
Jake DeLome coming up. Steve Phillips coming up. We're on the eve of training camps throughout the NHL. We're going to look at some of the bigger storylines throughout the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and throughout the country outside of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll save that more for tomorrow when they get into camp. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN.
Speaking of handicaps, the guy that we played with at Weston, Simone, just texted me and said Hayes at a 10 is flat out stealing money from people. So I don't know what you think you're doing out there with your buddies, but...
Well, listen, I shoot the same round pretty much every time. And I punch it into the app, and the number comes out the way it comes out. But I'm playing like a single digit lately. And today, as you saw, you shoot a 77. That's do the math. You know, getting strokes and shooting 77, that's going to be
So what did you tough. Take off of those guys?
I don't know. It was a little bit here or there. There was some pressing and some birdies, and I'd have to go back and look. But
so basically,
what goes
mad
around
at
comes around.
You
took,
mad at you,
you, took,
you're
you put 500 in your pocket.
No, not even close. No, not even close. But a couple 20s, couple here, couple there.
Wow,
believe me, they'll
be
dumped back in, and they have been dumped in throughout the summer. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, you got to be careful, though. Your best friend Tucker will drop you like a bad habit if he thinks you're cheating him. You know, if you're into his pocket.
Absolutely, as he should. Like, if you're out there playing, that's the way it goes, right? You got to play by the rules, and you put I post.
He's not stupid. He knows about the gambling and how it works. He would be sniffing around your handicap, what's going in and out, and he would know. He knows every match, what's going on every tee block, so you're not going to fool that guy.
As he should, absolutely. And believe me, that's a two-way street. Everyone wants to – you punch your number in, and it calculates whatever the number is and pumps it out. I've been sitting at a 10 for a couple months, and now I think I'm at a 9 as of today, but we'll see where that takes me in the future. Believe me, next time I'm out, I'll shoot an 88. Like, that's the way it goes. It's not as if I haven't broke 80 all year. It's the first time I've never broken 80 at that course, so it just happened to come together today, and the O Dog was in attendance, so that made it that much more special, I think, for content purposes,
right.
Anywho, speaking of content, the Manning cast was going on again last night.
It's awesome. Awesome.
So good. I had it on last night, and I was sitting there on the couch with my wife, and she's not the biggest sports fan in the world, but she likes big events, and she gets into, you know, she wants to watch the Super Bowl, and Layla Annie Fernandez was huge in our household. We were watching, like, every single game, every set, every match of her run at the U.S. Open, and she knows what I do and how I love sports, so she's always cool with sports being on. And generally, she's just kind of hanging out late at night, kids are asleep or whatever. I threw that Manning telecast on last night, and she looked at me like, what the hell is this? Like,
yeah,
we're watching two other guys talk about the sport
I gotta
that
be
they're
honest,
watching?
I got to be honest. That's just you could put the most famous, the person I like the most in the world. It's just my approach to watching live sports. I don't want to see two other guys talking. It could be Peyton and his brother, and I know they're fantastic. And from what I believe, they're getting unbelievable like feedback, and people love it. They see Gronk, they see Favre, they see all this. But that's just not my viewing. That's not what I want in my viewing. Now, sure enough, somebody from TSN is probably going to say our first regional Leaf games, you're going to be doing your own thing watching the game. And I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm not. But,
well, this, believe me, that's I don't know if it's the future of broadcasting because there's only so much you can do. The Mannings are the Mannings. You can't just have, you can have alternative viewing experiences online or something like that. How many people have multiple channels with that level of production, that level
That's just not for me, man.
And that's the beauty of it. Like, you go watch the regular telecast.
That's right.
I saw the ratings down in the States. ESPN, the regular telecast with Steve Levy and company, did basically 12 million last night. And the Manning cast did 1.85 million. They doubled the ratings week over week. So it's getting buzz. People are wanting to check it out.
Yeah. And it'll be a 5 million next week.
It very well could. It'll never catch up to the main telecast.
Because no, bars, restaurants, anything like that, they're putting up the live feed.
Right. You want the live feed. Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? It just, for me, like, I don't know enough football lingo, but it's just them, like, dissecting play. I just love how – I think Peyton Manning is a superstar on TV and as an analyst. And this guy can do anything he wants on TV because he's got a personality to match it. Eli looks like he's a little bit more reserved. But, like, Peyton is the star of the show. And he
– oh, yeah.
Like, he's not shy to shoot from the hip going, that's a brutal play. That's on the receiver. Like, the quarterback's got it there. He pointed out the one – laser beam that Favre threw for a touchdown. He's like, that went by the receiver's ear. Like, he's like, he got hit by the ball. Like, it was amazing what he pointed out. Like, you learn something just watching.
Oh, yeah. His mind is racing, man. Like, he's
– yeah.
And I'm sure you guys can relate to it, like, watching the game. Like, Noodles, I'm sure you watch through the lens of a goalie and you're you would watch what a goalie is doing differently than the average person would.
Yep.
And, of course, Peyton Manning's going to do that, especially with quarterbacks. He and Eli, like, it's like he's reading the defense. He's reading the plays. He's trying to get a read on the offensive line. All the playbooks, even though everyone's got slightly different names or slightly different alterations to plays, they're basically the same. Like, if you're in football forever, you know the plays. You know who's on the field, what it's going to mean, what the defense is looking like, and how you might go and attack it. And Peyton Manning is just – he's like possessed watching the game live. It's crazy. And he's got anecdotes and his own stories. And there's Eli just kind of chilling. And Eli will just chime in, Look at this. Look at that. And Eli's just as smart in terms of football, right?
Agreed.
Like, knows exactly what it's all about and what he's watching. Yeah. So we caught up with Jake Delhomme about an hour ago. Longtime Carolina Panther. Took his team to a Super Bowl. Our guy, Jake Delhomme.
Yes.
And I think – why don't we play the interview? Do we want to play the interview and then come back and then get into...
I will circle back and take control.
Okay, so we caught up with Jake. It was so great to have him on. The Grappler reaching out to Jake Delhomme and saying, hey, Mr. Delhomme, would you like to come on the show? We'd love to have you. And Jake Delhomme said, absolutely, happy to come on. So we began the conversation by asking Jake Delhomme how he views the Manning cast. And if he were asked to do something like that, would he want to take on that challenge? And if so, who would he want to ride shotgun with?
I have watched it. I will say that. And, I've been looking forward to watching it. Peyton and I are only a few months apart, and we've been knowing each other pretty much since high school. So we talked about it at the Manning passing camp this past July. Him and Eli and I talked about it, and we kind of laughed about it. I thought it would have been a hit, and I truly think it is a hit. I think week one they maybe tried to do too much in the first quarter, then they just kind of settled in. But let's see, who would I host it with? That's a great question. I think there's a lot of guys I could kind of banter back and forth with, but it's kind of nice when you watch two brothers. That in essence, they kind of know each and every memory, every play that each other have had, go back from high school to grade school. So that's a little hard to mess up. The chemistry those two have are pretty good. Because Peyton is, you know, very kind of type A personality. You kind of watch him, and then Eli just sits there. You know, he sits and he throws out these one-liners. And he, if you listen to him talk football, he's very, very intelligent. Obviously, he knows football. But I think it's just a great mix.
What do you think about the quarterback position these days? I mean, the quarterback has always been the guy, but you turn on any NFL show during the off days, it's like every single throw that these guys make is broken down, it's scrutinized, and it's just like everybody's under the gun every play they make out there.
You couldn't have said it better. It seems like it's the end of the world if somebody has a rough game. You know, yeah. You go back to the whole Green Bay situation last week playing against the New Orleans Saints, and you could have sworn it's the end of the world, and then the New Orleans Saints are, you know, and I'm in Louisiana is where I'm from, and you could swear they're not going to lose another game. And then you fast forward this week, Aaron Rodgers, he could put a football anywhere he wanted to last night. He was so accurate and played so well. And the New Orleans Saints, they had a debacle against the Panthers. It wasn't a good game. So it's just everything gets so diagnosed each and every week. But, you know, that's why the ratings are so high. The players get paid all those salaries. That's what people like. And obviously it sells. So I think we just better get used to it. And, more importantly, quarterback, you always have to have tough skin. Well, it better be extremely tough because it's not going to get any easier from here on out.
Jake, you played against Brady, and I know you guys are in the same wheelhouse as far as age. do you believe that you could still be playing right now? I mean, what he's doing is insane. I think you're 46 and he's 44. I mean, you retired some time ago, we'll say 10 years ago, and he still continues to go on and on. I mean, that's his level of greatness. But, you know, what are you seeing from Tom and the way that he's really dominated his first two games?
Well, I think the first thing, I'm jealous of him. second thing, I think he's phenomenal. And I'm 46, and it's been since 2011 that I suited up, and there's no possible way I could play a game. I mean, I couldn't make it. My arm feels good enough to do it, but just the rest of the body. But watching him play, it just seems like his arm strength hasn't decreased in the least bit, and he's still staying pliable. He's still staying on top of his body, and I think he got a new lease on life leaving New England. And going to Tampa, and it's probably pretty fun to show up to work every single day with all the weapons that they have surrounded him with. And, you know, it was evident last year as the season went along, he started getting on the same page with these guys, and they bring in all the same cast of characters back along with O.J. Howard, who's a kid coming off of an Achilles injury, who was a first-round pick. So you added another weapon to the mix. So with a solid offensive line. So he's remarkable. I'm jealous. I'm envious. And I'm amazed to watch him play at this age.
We're chatting with longtime NFL quarterback Jake Delhomme. We're through 2 weeks in the NFL. The Thursday nighter does not set up to be the world's greatest Thursday nighter, but we'll see how that plays out once we get to it. That's more because of Houston and where they currently stand. And when you look at older quarterbacks, Jake, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, he's not going to practice this week. It feels like he's not a guarantee to even play this week. This is a guy who looks like he's always beaten up. He's a lot younger than Brady, yet he looks and plays a lot older. Do you have a belief that Roethlisberger can make it through the season just based on health and his physical status alone? Do you think it's safe to say that Big Ben can get through a 17-game season this year?
Listen, I think I'm like pretty much everyone else. I think it's pretty easy to see he slowed down tremendously. Last year, I think I was hoping it could be somewhat coming off of the arm injury, and word was this offseason came in great shape, but it's still, it looks like these cumulative hits over the years are starting to take its toll. So that's a good question. I'm not so sure what I've seen so far. But Ben is one that has shown he can show up weekly unless it's a pretty, you know, big injury like the elbow injury he had 2 years ago. So But it's going to be difficult. I think Father Time has started knocking on that door, and I think you saw it with Drew Brees down here in New Orleans the last couple of years, not being able to go down the field. He could still move around in the pocket and things of that nature, but the arm strength just was not there. Phillip Rivers, you know, those guys, it just kind of – it started to – you could just kind of see it coming on. So it won't be a surprise when those guys when someone like him does hang it up.
Tua down in Miami is obviously a polarizing guy because they drafted him. He had the injury, and there was question marks. And Flores, when he was talking about him yesterday in his presser, he was mentioning it was bruised ribs. And I think you could see it in his face that he was somewhat kind of like, I can't believe that this is bruised ribs we're talking about. You, of all people, know the position better than anyone. Like, do you think this guy can handle it if he's going to be missing time and he's knocked out of a game with bruised ribs? I don't ever want to question somebody's character or heart, but it just seemed like, man, bruised ribs, don't most quarterbacks have to play through that?
Yes, I would happen to think every quarterback that I've played with along the line would definitely be playing with bruised ribs. I don't think there's any doubt. So I think my concern with Tua would be just the volume of injuries that has happened to him, his time at Alabama, and then he hasn't even gone through a whole NFL season yet as a starter. So that's something that is definitely a concern. And, you know, I don't want to get into somebody's toughness and whatnot. I'm sure he's an extremely tough kid. You know, I would anticipate him being on the field if it is just bruised ribs and nothing's broken. And if that's not the case, then, you know, you'd have to think teammates and our coaches might look a little bit different at him if that was just the case. Now, if it's something more significant, then you totally get it. But bruised ribs, you see many, many players play through that throughout the course of a season.
With longtime NFL quarterback Jake Delhomme, Aaron Rodgers, the spotlight was on him going into last night, and he was very efficient. He didn't throw the ball deep too often because Detroit didn't really allow for it, so he took what they gave him, and he checked down a lot. Aaron Jones went off for 4 touchdowns, but he looked confident last night. He looked like himself last night, which is the polar opposite of what he looked like a week ago when they played New Orleans. So through 2 weeks, when you consider everything that Rodgers was going through and the Packers were going through in the summertime, where do you stand on projecting how the rest of the season is going to play out for Aaron Rodgers in particular?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think Aaron's going to be just fine. I don't see anything wrong with him. I don't see any decline in play whatsoever, and certainly not arm strength. In accuracy, because a couple of these passes that he made last night, you just kind of scratch your head and tip your hat and just say, my gosh, he can still do it. I think for him and that football team defensively, I'm not so sure they're setting the world on fire. And I understand they were missing one of the Smith brothers yesterday, and he'll be out for a bit. But they did not look well defensively against the New Orleans Saints. And to be honest with you, last night, Detroit was pretty much having their way until some unfortunate turnovers in the second half. And Detroit was really playing decent football until that time. So I think Aaron Rodgers is that's one thing that I do believe is that Father Time has not knocked on his door yet. And I don't think he's close. Aaron still looks like he has a ton of good football left. Green Bay-wise, though, defensively, it looks like they could have some issues there coming down the line. But then again, they are playing in the division that, you know, the Lions are 0-2, the Vikings are 0-2, the Bears are 1-1, and you would assume there'll be some hiccups along the way with the Bears, with Justin Fields most likely being the quarterback. You would have to think here on out.
We'll get you out of here on a question about the Lions, who, you know, I know you don't have any direct affiliation with them, but you've been around the game for as long as you have been, and when you were in the league, they were historically awful that one year. They went 0-16 when you were in the league. Why is it they could never figure this out? Why does it feel like the Lions are just in this perpetual state of rebuilding, reloading,
ridiculous,
and losing, yeah, quite frankly?
I would like to be able to answer it for you because I could just feel for those Detroit Lions fans. I mean, that's some long-suffering fans. You'd love to see them be able to turn it around. I would have a feeling that would be a pretty exciting atmosphere, especially in the wintertime. You know, Detroit, Michigan, you kind of feel like a grittiness, you know, to that bunch. But I have no idea. I mean, Matthew Stafford is playing unbelievable football right now with the Rams, and you had him for 12 years, and I know you had Megatron, but it's like they can never truly get it right for whatever reason or another. So I'm a big fan of Dan Campbell and some of those guys that he has brought in on that staff. They are trying to coach it and teach it the New Orleans way, which I think is a very solid way to build a program. But they just need to keep stacking draft picks. They're still a ways away, but I'd love to see a city and a team like that kind of turn it around. It's certainly, you scratch your head and you wonder why. Why has it been so many years and for so long they just can't seem to get it right?
It's a lifetime at this point. It really is wild. And it's a great sports town. It's a gritty blue-collar town, football town, and they just cannot turn it around. We'll see what happens. It's great catching up with you, Jake. We really appreciate you taking time for us, man. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.
So that was our boy, Jake Delhomme, who
yes.
we love, right?
We
he
love him.
Is our guy. And we like he's former quarterback. We like having him on. The only thing is, leading up to him coming on for that pre-tape, we were led onto the understanding that we were having Jake Plummer on the show. Okay? So we're getting the text from Grappler saying, yeah. Guys, we have a pretty cool pre-tape going on today. Not that Jake Delhomme wasn't a great pre-tape.
Awesome.
Great, love it.
Right.
Love,
awesome.
Love his answers.
Love
and this is nothing against Jake Delhomme. But I was even going to just pass on the pre-tape because I was tired and I was like, Jamie and Brian do it. And Jake the Snake Plummer is the guy. So I'm right. like, I got to get fired up for this. So we are going into this thinking that this is Jake the Snake Plummer on the line. And this, I hope you have it ready, Mulls, is how this pre-tape got started.
Here he is back on Overdrive, longtime NFLer. We haven't had him on in a couple of years. He's always great to have on. Here is Jake Plummer. What's happening, Jake?
It's Delhomme, not Plummer, if you want to reset it.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the most ridiculous thing. Play the beginning again, Mulls.
Yeah.
Here he is back on Overdrive, longtime NFLer. We haven't had him on in a couple of years. He's always great to have on. Here is Jake Plummer. What's happening, Jake?
It's Delhomme, not Plummer, if you want to reset it.
That's great.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I'm so embarrassed hearing that again. I haven't heard it since. And my head, for starters, let me clarify something. I thought I was in the wrong. So here I am thinking I haven't been paying attention.
I thought he was goofing on us. I thought Jake Plummer was like, it's Delhomme. Aha, just kidding. Yeah. It's Jake Plummer.
Right. And that, or Grappler's been telling me Delhomme all day on the phone, everything. And for whatever reason, my brain froze.
Right.
And I went to Plummer. So I'm immediately, like, as he's saying that, I'm freaking out. I'm having a heart attack. And I'm going through my texts. I had just got off the phone with the Grappler. 5 seconds before that, he's like, all right, Plummer's calling in. Let's get going. I'm like, I'm certain it's Plummer. I've talked to him 15 times, and I've been preparing for Plummer. We've had Plummer on multiple times.
Yes.
He's an awesome guest, too.
Awesome.
And for starters, shout out to Delhomme, because he should have hung up the phone and said, this
absolutely.
Is amateur hour.
Dude,
you guys are losers. Screw
imagine?
All of you up in Toronto.
Delhomme is the best, but
the
I've
best.
Got a – like, I've got a – we all have personal texts from with the Grappler, too. So he had sent me a note going, hey, we're doing a pre-tape. Jake Plummer is coming on. So he gives me a little backstory.
Yeah.
Plummer
like,
became a big handball player. Yeah. Ask him about this. There's
an
easy Tom Brady
Everything.
Question there. And I write, as you get jammed up, when he goes, it's Jake Delhomme, I go, who's Jake Delhomme? Question mark to the Grappler. And you he goes, I can't, he swears and goes, oh, former Panthers quarterback. And I'm like, I knew right away. I'm like, oh my God, we got to pivot. But I'm watching your head explode. O's dying. And then I'm trying to control myself. Like,
well, this guy's teeing up the guest. He's like, here he is. And I'm like, I was about to say, before, like in the intro, like Jake the Snake, because that was his nickname. I'm like, I love this guy. I had the goatee cooking out in Denver, blah, blah, blah. And then, Malls, this happened.
Here he is back on Overdrive, longtime NFLer. We haven't had him on in a couple of years. He's always great to have on. Here is Jake Plummer. What's happening, Jake?
It's DeLome, not Plummer.
That's great.
A million Brooksies for the grappler.
Oh,
a million.
Right, Brooksie.
Hey, Brooksie.
We'll play this multiple times this afternoon, this week, this year, this decade. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Steve Phillips coming up in hour two. We'll look ahead to a bunch of storylines throughout the NHL on the eve of camp and the Jays back in action tonight. Alek Manoah looking to bounce back. Wasn't their best outing last night. Resilient effort, though. They made it close in the ninth, battled back, and we'll see what they have in store tonight. So we'll tee up game two of the series with Steve. Yankees in action tonight. Sox in action tonight as well. So that more coming up, and more Jake Plummer, a.k.a. Jake DeLome audio for you. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.